This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, we're back. It's Punch Up the Jam, and we've descended into pure chaos as I host by myself, and therefore I don't have any intro. We get right into the show when it happens. That's all we do. We punch up jams. We talk about songs. We make them better. They're never better, or maybe they are.
Let's punch it.
Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Who are you?
It's Punch Up the Jam. I'm one of your hosts, your only host today. My name's Evan Gregory, and this is the show in which we listen to wonderful or horrible songs that a guest brings in, and we improve them permanently. Forever. We replace the song in all the libraries of all the radio DJs in the world, and this is the only version you'll ever hear of these songs for the rest of eternity. Today we're joined by a very special guest.
Welcome
to the show, Amy Miller, a stand-up stand-up comedian. She has a special on Comedy Central out this year. It's called Ham Mouth, and a wonderful album called California King. Amy, welcome back to the
show. You did it.
I did.
We did it.
We did it.
Everything's great.
Everything is horrible.
Oh, thank you for having me back. I didn't know what was going on or who I was on this show with. So everything's a delightful surprise.
You've been on the podcast before, but it's been a minute. It's been a couple years.
Yes, it has.
It was an exploration of the song Love Shack.
Yes, my favorite song. They said I had to put out a new album and a comedy special if I wanted to come back. I thought it was pretty harsh, but that's just what they told me. So
that's where the bar is. The line is so long for people that want to guest on this show and get their songs fixed, you know, get their favorite songs fixed, that the bar is super high.
Yeah, it took a while. We had a pandemic. I was like, okay, guys, I'll get it done, but I don't know.
And here you are. Congrats, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Congrats on having an album and a special. This is a very accomplished thing for a stand-up comedian to have.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I would say after the last few years, it's actually fully insane to have new. Oh, I put out a special in 2020 as well. So, you know, to have new jokes and new things is, and to record things with humans in the room. I think I'm pretty proud of it, both.
It's really amazing to have any accomplishments after the last couple of years. That's what you mean by insane,
yeah.
Right? I spent a long time just talking to the wall.
Yeah, just an organized closet is like a big, big feat. We're all doing great. We have the perfect song for this today, too. It's like, you're doing fine. I just want everybody to know you're doing great.
Yeah, so today we're talking about Mr. Blue Sky by Electric Light Orchestra. I don't know. It's the sunniest song. It's aggressively sunny.
Yeah. I was really, really shocked no one had done this song yet.
Me too. It's so popular. It's so well known. I was looking into it, and this song, I think ELO was huge at the time, and this was a big hit for them. But over time, everything else has kind of fallen away. There's only a couple other ELO songs that really are still around, getting spins on classic rock radio and stuff like that. And like, this is their signature song.
Yeah, I think so. Evil Woman is pretty huge, I think, pretty in the zeitgeist consistently, but yeah.
I think of it every time I look at my wife. Hey, yo!
Oh, no.
No.
That's, wow.
I retract everything.
But I think this one, yeah, it just spans so many things. It's in so much media, and it is just perennially cheerful. And it's like, it's not so British in the way that like The Cure would make a song that you're like, oh, I listened to this on a sunny, happy day. And then they're like, well, actually, it's a very sad song. And here's the story behind it. Like, there's no deeper, like, sad, twisted British tale behind this song. It's literally just... it's what it says.
I have to say that's what scared me when you first mentioned, oh, this is your song pick. I mean, we will take on any song on this show, but I'm a little afraid when I don't immediately see what the angle is on it, because this song is just about the blue sky. There is no like Morrissey underbelly of darkness where, well, yeah, it's a happy lyric, but he's probably having suicidal ideations. This is, you know, this, it's only about the sun coming out as far as I can see.
It is, and I think when asked, when pressed about it over the years,
as you often are, as people are always pressuring you.
Not me. No, that's what Jeff Lynn says too. He's just like, basically, I had writer's block, and I was in a Swiss chalet, holed up, trying to write a double album, and then it had been raining and raining, and then the sun came out, and then this song came out, but it sounds like it was sort of, it cleared whatever block he had, so then, like, after he had written this one, then everything else just sort of, like... flowed out, according to him. But yeah, the people have pressed and pressed to be like, no, but wait, I mean, you're British, so there must be some
but what dark is it really
underbelly
about? Is it about coal miners' rights?
Is it about class structure and the yeah,
is it about heroin?
Yeah, no, it's just the most surface, like, it's basically a Raffi song, like, it's a children's song, you know. There's nothing else.
Yep, down by the bay.
Where the watermelons grow.
It's a blue sky,
yeah,
type
of
way.
Jam.
Well, I'm really glad that you kind of know your stuff. You're bringing some history here. We can sort of set up the background of this tune before we start playing clips and listening to it. Let's talk about what's going on with what, like, who is ELO? I call this Song Facts.
Song Facts. Song Facts.
You mentioned that this is like in media all over the place. I remember this song was in really prominently in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 a couple years ago, where I don't know, they're fighting some floppy alien, but it's really been in a million movies and shows. It's like,
oh, is it on his tape?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, there's always some classic rock song playing while they're doing a grisly alien murder in those movies.
Yeah, because he has that tape.
Yeah, this freaking magic tape.
From his mom or whatever, I think.
Yes.
I only saw it once.
Yeah. Yeah, from his mom. He's got mommy issues and daddy issues.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why he has to guard the whole galaxy. It's
a lot
of pressure.
If you only have mommy issues, you can stop at the solar system. If it's both parents, you have to go full galaxy.
For sure.
With your guarding. I don't know. I just started getting into the list of all the millions of TV shows that this song has made, because it's just so pure. They wanted it for the Office theme song, and mm-hmm. they couldn't get it for yeah. some reason. But it did make it into Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah, so. But yeah, it fits in so many things and rom-coms. It's the perfect like transitional song and or montage song.
So, you know, montage-y. It's like,
she's trying on the 27 dresses right now. Like, I don't think it's in that movie, but it should be that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yep. She always wanted to learn this recipe, but she never could until she watched the Julia Child video. And while the song is playing, she's breaking eggs. They landed on the floor. Oh, no, we're covered in flour.
Yeah, you can picture like a depressed person in a rom-com getting their life together and doing that thing where they get the big garbage bag and then they scoop all the wine bottles and Chinese food boxes off the coffee table.
The clean coffee table is such a symbol.
Yeah, they're taking a turn for the better.
Of getting your groove back. One thing I learned about this song that I did not already know after hearing it 100 times on the radio or in movie soundtracks is that this is really part of a suite. This thing comes on an album called Out of the Blue. ELO had been around for several years and had released a bunch of albums, each with increasing success. And this is sort of the apex of their career. Jeff Lynne, like you said, is looking for another hit. And so he sequesters himself, as rich rock stars do, in a Swiss chalet.
And right.
And Out of the Blue, the album, is a double album. It's giant. It's massive. And you know, ELO, the Electric Light Orchestra, is known for combining the electric and the orchestra stuff. So it's a big concept album. And Mr. Blue Sky is actually the fourth movement on the third side of the album. So there's four sides to this double LP, right? And the third side, the third side is called Concerto for a Rainy Day. And that quote-unquote concerto has four movements. The last one is Mr. Blue Sky. So it's like this massive orchestral piece that culminates in Mr. Blue Sky. Like it tells a story of the rainy day, which ultimately must end, and then Mr. Blue Sky comes out.
Mm-hmm. And then one of my favorite facts about this song too is that because of where it was on the double album, he put the lyric "Please turn me over" in this song.
Yes,
because I think also kind of knowing this is like a big hit, you know, like he must have known, because it's like, hey, don't stop listening right here, there's one side left, like flip the record over. It's just yeah, it's so smart.
Yeah, and also assuming that after listening to 20 minutes of Concerto for a Rainy Day, people are going to be in a state of hypnosis and they would need a verbal command to flip the vinyl. Like, I know you're I know you're half asleep at this point. You've gone into a trance. Please turn me over. We'll hear that bit in a bit, but I think most people think, cuz it's kind of hard to understand, most people think that the voice is going, "Mr. Blue Sky." I want to pitch you on a piece of scholarship. I was Googling around. I didn't see anybody with this theory about this song, Mr. Blue Sky.
Okay.
Do you know the William Tell Overture?
Sure.
So that is also part of a four...
I've seen Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah.
Sure.
The only place you'll ever hear that song used.
Yeah.
So that is part of a four movement overture, the William Tell Overture, by Italian composer Rossini, and all the movements in that piece have been used in Looney Tunes time and time again. I think the most famous one is the Lone Ranger one. But the other melodies too also like signify daybreak, when Bugs Bunny's waking up and you hear do dee doo doo dee doo dee doo doo doo. And I read somewhere that whole piece, the William Tell Overture, is supposed to be about a day in Switzerland. And I know Jeff Lynne's stated goal in Electric Light Orchestra is to combine classical and rock music, and that he's quoted this same composer, Rossini, on a previous album, on a track called Disco Number One.
Interesting.
So my pet theory that I guess this podcast is now an academic paper. And
perfect.
So my pet theory that I haven't seen anywhere else is that this whole thing, this Concerto for Rainy Day, that is a quarter of the album, is just a rip of the William Tell Overture. Just the whole idea of we're writing an orchestral piece about a rainy day in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to the segment of our program that I hate, which is when my brother Andrew springs a trivia question on me that I always get wrong.
Okay.
And in his absence, I have to spring it on my guest, who is unsuspecting Amy. And we call this segment $5.
Then you get $5, $5, baby.
Because I'm going to ask you about this song, and if you get it right, I'll Venmo you $5.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to list 8 titles. They're all titles of movements. Either movements in Concerto for a Rainy Day by ELO, or in the William Tell Overture by Gioachino Rossini.
Okay.
And your task is to guess which one they belong to. ELO, ELO or Rossini?
Okay.
Okay, the first one is the easiest one. Mr. Blue Sky.
ELO.
You got it. Okay, yes. We're on to a good start.
Yes.
Okay. Summer and Lightning.
Rossini.
Nope. Dawn.
Dawn Rossini.
Got it. Storm.
ELO.
Nope.
Fuck.
That's the one that you that's the real Elmer Fuddy one.
That's right. Thank you for putting it, continuing to put it in a Looney Tunes context for me.
It's the best world.
So that I understand what's going on.
Call to the Cows.
Rossini.
Got it. That's the Daybreak one. Big Wheels.
ELO.
Yeah, kind of a giveaway. It sounds pretty 70s. March of the Swiss Soldiers.
ELO.
Nope. That's the Lone Ranger one. And Standing in the Rain.
But he was in Switzerland. ELO.
You got it.
Okay, so I get $5 for each one I got right. This is awesome.
Yeah, I wasn't even keeping score, but you got a lot.
$25.
I'm making this up every episode. We've never done a multi-part question before. So I think you got more than 50%, which is definitely a win.
My Venmo is Amy Miller Comedy.
Perfect. Thanks for playing, and I look forward to the Academy of Music. Who publishes academic music journals? I don't know. I look forward to them calling both of us as co-authors on this paper entitled Rossini and Jeff Lynn, a Thesis.
I think you're onto something.
Thanks. I don't know about the we can stop or go as many times as we want here, but I just don't know about the radio announcer. It's too I truly love this song, but it starts on the cheesiest note for me.
Well, because yeah, they're just those are the moments where you're like, you're directly ripping off the Beatles, and that's chill, but you know, it could not be more obvious.
Yeah, the Beatles didn't have this radio announcer. But the song is really Beatlesy, right? Like where we just paused it sounds just like the piano.
Oh yeah, I'm probably plenty of people just
of Day in the Life, right?
Grow up hearing it, assuming that it's a Beatles song because it just fits right into the whole catalog. But this really, that radio announcer and the opening really puts it over the edge.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something so on the nosy of just like, good morning, blue skies ahead. Here's a song about blue sky. I don't know.
I think, is it a radio announcer or is it our captain speaking?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It could be a pilot. Let's run it back. You be the judge. That does, you know?
Could go either way, but you're probably right. Probably radio announcer.
I don't know. I like your take. I definitely have been hearing it as radio DJ doing morning drive time stuff, but the announcing the forecast like that. Now I'm coming around to your side that this is, we're on, you know, United Flight 1364, and he's just like making small talk. Ooh. with the passengers. This is, it's 10 Central, and we land in Indianapolis. It's a beautiful day on the tarmac. I'm gonna sit there.
You know, they always tell you what temperature it is in the place where you're landing. It's like, man, I just want to get home.
Yeah, we could be flying instead of describing.
It's a nice touch. It's just, I don't know, who cares about it? But then there are always people that respond. You know, there's always someone next to you on the plane that goes like, ooh, chilly. I'm like, please don't.
Okay, just blatantly so literal. Sun is shining in the sky. There ain't a cloud in sight. I'm describing the weather. It stopped raining.
Mm-hmm.
Then just a little tweak on it. Everybody's in a play. I don't know what that's about. It's a beautiful new day. Hey, hey, hey. And then this insane sound at the very end. Hey. Bang, 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 bang.
Which is a fire extinguisher, right?
I read that too. It's sort of cowbell-ish, but it's more,
yeah.
It's even more metally than a metal cowbell.
And yeah, they're putting metal to a fire extinguisher. I think they did it when they performed live as well. They were traveling with this fire extinguisher, which is smart, too, just for safety, you know, just in case.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, you don't want to not bring a fire extinguisher. And then as long as you got it, you might as well bring it on stage. That's the most likely place a fire is going to break out. There's all sorts of hot lights, all sorts of electrical things plugged into one another. You know, a lot of rock stars die from getting electrocuted by their own microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well have the fire extinguisher out there. Now, I don't recommend the fire extinguisher is under a lot of internal pressure. I don't recommend banging it with a metal hammer.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was probably cached already. It was a used extinguisher because it also has that very hollow sound and not like it's filled with something.
Yeah.
But you could still use it to smash a window or hit someone over the head.
Yeah.
If you need.
Yeah, which I do often. I'm always either breaking windows to get out of, you know, ironically, I've never done it because of a fire. I'm always, you know, trying to get out of a bank heist or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, very cool sound that they got hooked on, and they continue banging the fire extinguisher at the end of every verse, just in that exact spot, four little bangs.
There's also the cool, like, cymbal crashes going on in this verse. Well, I think maybe the whole song.
Yeah, here's the next stanza. Let's check out the cymbals. Heavy breathing, cool. I'm crazy about these harmonies. It's just so cool. Sky is living here today.
Their voices are so beautiful. It's just so good.
Yeah.
I think the crashes might end because I think they're hearkening back to the storm that has now ended, maybe. Like, I think in the first verse, it's like, oh, here's the sound of rain, but now that's gone away.
Mm-hmm. I have to go back to the first verse to hear what you're talking about. Right there on cloud, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know? Yeah, there are more crash cymbals in that bit. It's a little, it's illustrative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you sold me on that theory. The crash cymbal is the rain.
Because I do think they go away.
Yeah, now everything cuts out.
Got this.
Like every phrase has a different person entering or exiting with a different harmony. It's so tightly composed.
Yeah.
You know, the whole band kind of drops out. Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us what you had to hide it so long.
It's, yeah.
It's like,
Mr. Blue Sky.
You just picture different Muppets popping in and out of. Like,
yeah, it's very silly.
Like and the doors are opening on the laugh in wall. Different heads are sticking out, you know?
Totally. Yeah, it's just a Hollywood Squares of a band.
Yeah.
Taking their turns.
Yeah, I don't know.
At every part of their register, too. It's so silly, so fun.
Right. Bob, you sing way up here, and then I'll come in on Blue Sky down here. Okay.
Sure. Mr. Blue Sky.
I don't know. It's chaos, but it's just really fun, and I don't know. It makes it more catchy. It's just so different than if you had just sung in one line, Mr. Blue Sky, please tell us why, blah, blah, do hide away. That is okay, but a little bit boring, and they put so much thought into every single phrase, has a different person coming in and out, different harmony. It just keeps it really fresh and in your ear.
Yes, I'm sure there's some like pared down, like a Phoebe Bridgers version of this song that does that. And I love her, but frankly, I don't want to hear it from her or anyone else. I don't think anything needs to be removed from this song.
It would be an injustice.
I didn't look up any covers, but now I will after this because I'm curious.
I'm so glad you said that out loud because that is idea number one on the Punch Up potential list for a song like this is just do the sad cover and reveal the hidden dark layer underneath. We talk about how this song is just pure sun. It does not have the subtext. But what if you just sang it slow? Then all of a sudden you create the Phoebe Bridgers subtext.
Good question. But I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, but you just said don't do it, so I won't.
Well, I am curious to hear it.
Okay, well, we'll see. But I'm putting that in my back pocket. We'll see what I'm going to surprise you with. Now, something that's good. Truly unhinged here is that they were only 1 minute into the song, and they just go right into a guitar solo. Maybe it's because it's part of a concerto. I mean, growing up, I only heard this song stand alone, so it's just unusual that you only get through the one verse and chorus and you're all ready to tear off a solo. It's tasty though.
Oh, it's good.
I mean, really Beatles-y, right? Just golly.
Yeah, it's so cool. The tone on the guitar is so cool.
It's so melodic. You're not just playing like random blues riffs. It's tuneful. The tone's great. There's a lot to love. I'm failing as a punch-up artist here, but I'm not identifying any weaknesses. I'm just unabashedly loving on it.
I know. And it just continues, just the tone of the guitar itself continues like the purely happy theme.
Yes. Yeah. Just the sunniest of guitar solos.
And almost like matches his voice in a way. Just like, I don't know, the quality of it. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. This next verse that comes up is my favorite line, even though it's so cheesy. Welcome to the human race. The celebration is the blue sky. It's just so sweet. And today. I don't know, the welcome to the human race thing is like the closest thing for me to guessing that, oh, it's actually about a baby being born.
Right.
Okay, we're about halfway through this 5 minute song. We've got three verses. I love this last one. We're so pleased to be with you, because it's a verse, but has this same level of architecture that the chorus does, like people jumping in, singing the harmonies, jumping out. There's all this, I don't know, scaffolding and structure to it.
Mm-hmm. And it does. I mean, yeah, he never mentions that it is for a baby, but maybe he was just like, oh, this is something people will listen to when they have a baby. I mean, that's almost like borrowing kind of from that Bowie song, The Kooks. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Which is a beautiful song about him having his kid. But yeah, I don't, it's just, I wonder if he calculated this to be like, well, there's going to be many occasions that people could play this song for. Because someone, I think it was Paul F. Tompkins, like, tweeted once that his friends walked down the aisle to the song. And I was like, oh, that's so fun.
That's
and cool.
So like, fun and sweet. Just imagining all your family and friends just smiling at you while you're walking down the aisle.
Yeah, it's so precious. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if he had the full vision of like, oh, it in movies, this could be used, you know, for a birth or a wedding or a happy day or a million other things.
Yeah.
But
I think
if he did see it coming, he's very smart.
I really do believe that he's really just writing about meteorology here, but there could be something to like that experience of being in a long ass rainstorm and then the sun comes out, feels like you're rejoining society or rejoining humanity. Like, I'm ready to be me again. I've been depressed in a pandemic for 2 years, and now welcome back to the human race. I'm back, baby, and there's blue sky. I don't know. That's one take on it. But now that I'm thinking of it as a newborn song, I've got a really good visual image going on of just the intro to this song playing, and then there's just a baby crowning right out of the coming, like a head is coming out of the birth canal with a huge grin on the baby's face.
And it's a koala baby.
human mother, koala baby.
That's cuter than a koala baby.
What could be? It's cuter now because it's interspecies.
No, I was also picturing a koala mom. That's your stuff, but
oh, okay.
yeah. He's just like, it's just about weather, guys. Stop.
Yeah, quit it.
Just really like when it's sunny. That's it.
Yep. Generations of music critics are like, when Mr. Blue Sky brought about the downfall of Margaret Thatcher through its incisive political commentary. Meanwhile, Jeff Lynne banging on the windows. It's about a cumulonimbus. Okay, we got up to the synth solo, and this is the other signature thing of this song, is the vocoder. Okay, what do you think of this bit? I won't make you go first. I'm kind of a hater of the vocoder part, even though it's like the signature thing.
I love it.
On this track.
I love it. The song's perfect. I love every new phase of it. And it just, it's so carefully orchestrated, but it does still have like that chaos 70s quality where you're like, I have no idea what's coming next. Like in a Queen, like Bohemian Rhapsody sort of way, where you're just like, I don't know. I like this part as much as the one before, but there's some weird stuff going on.
Yeah, something else is going to happen. This song's maybe, I don't know, it's maybe like 2-3 years after Bohemian Rhapsody. So you know that's looming large. Like, mm-hmm. Queen did it. They combined rock and opera, and it was a smash hit, not just relegated to the prog rock niche stuff. You know they're thinking about that. You can hear Day in the Life and other Beatles stuff, other Sgt. Pepper's stuff happening in
here. Yeah, The Who, Bowie, it's actually very impressive how massive this song is, having like borrowed from so many people, but it just fits directly in, you know, like the time that it was made. Like, so you can hear all these influences. They're probably more shout outs than thefts, you know, mm-hmm. but like they're all there, but it still is like it stands on its own so well.
I think the reason I don't like this vocoder bit is because I am hearing it with 21st century ears, where vocoder has been used for decades since then in awesome ways.
Yeah, T-Pain.
Perfect example. The pioneer.
The best ways.
The pioneer, the god T-Pain.
Thank you.
I was thinking of like, I don't know, all the like Daft Punk and all the, and the funk bands and stuff. Zap and Cameo and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But I think at the time, there's just not much vocoder happening in rock. So if you could hear this with 1978 ears, it sounds like mind-blowing. And it's, I think, really did set the stage for a lot of other vocoder stuff.
James.
That's fresh, man. I have to wind it back because it's after you've heard that verse 3 or 4 times already, conclude with the I remember you this way, to finish it with a surprise chord like that is pretty sick. But it does come after probably the scariest verse. Mr. Blue, just recapping the lyrics here. Mr. Blue, you did it right, but soon comes Mr. Knight. It's very, it's sort of like Grimm's fairy tale type of dark. Creeping over, now his hand is on your shoulder. Never mind, I'll remember you this way.
Mm-hmm. But the arrangement and the key change like still grounds it in like don't forget, guys, this is still just a happy song. Because the lyrics, yeah, they are venturing into like, oh, maybe there is like a dark note. They're like, listen to the music. We're still doing this sunshine thing.
Yeah. Night eventually falls on all of us, as it shall for you and your those who came before you. But look over here at this happy music. I am going to play this chord change because the surprise is so fresh. You're just expecting it to finish the phrase. And instead, they have this whole extended thing. It sounds really cool.
Are you listening? I remember you this way. Woo! The skies tell us why you had to hide away for so long. Where did we come from?
It's so sweet, too, when he's like, so long.
Oh, yeah. So long. One cool thing is I actually don't know how the... Our listeners are, depending on your platform, you're hearing this podcast in stereo or mono, but a really cool device that's happening here is that like some of the lead vocals are in the center and then the little harmonies come in, so long, and they're way out in your left ear or your right ear paired out.
Yeah.
And it creates this giant space that the band is in. That's a really cool device.
My favorite part is coming up when the choir comes in, but they're just starting to incorporate the choir. It's very quiet, but like you can hear that they've been added, and it's like, you know, almost as if they're like stepping onto stage.
Yeah. I think of it as they're
building to that now.
They're crossing the Alps. They've entered the scene, but they're on the other side of the Alpine meadow, like the Von Trapp kids are.
Like Fräulein Maria.
Yeah, you know, the hills are alive at this part, but the choir hasn't, you know, put on the drapes yet and arrived on stage. Let me check.
They're warming up.
Let me check out that part. We'll see how they make that entrance. The walking bass with the doo-doo-doo. Come on, it's so cool. And loopy. Like, this is a song by a crazy person. Absolutely epic end, right? But wait.
Yes.
What the heck is this?
And now it's over. Just kidding.
Just kidding. I guess it's, in my mind, it's like the song actually finished, but this is sort of like the bonus movement from the concerto. But it's still technically Mr. Blue Sky. What is this part of the meteorology?
This is just like right out of a Disney movie.
Oh man, it's incredible.
It also sounds like a very soprano tenor heavy chorus choir.
Yes, this is coming from, I'm pausing it there to note that comment is coming from an experienced choir member.
Oh yes, truth. Truth. I don't know how you knew that, but I'm sure the low voices are in there, but you can really, really hear, especially the obviously the sopranos, but then the tenors, they just have like this like beautiful tone. It's just so cool.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, well, we're commenting on it. Let me see if I can jump back and find that spot. Might as well hear the sopranos. Let's see. Where is it? Here it is. Yeah, listening to it a little bit closer, it's like, I think all four parts are in there, but you're just not getting as much volume from the basses who are going like, da, da, and the tenors are able to project a little bit more. So you're right, the end result is just really soprano tenor heavy, the other parts kind of
getting covered up. Yeah, and then even like the low voices are kind of going from note to note, then they're, you know... As a soprano, thankfully, letting us shine, you know? It's like a Bach arrangement where we're just doing crazy shit and then everyone else going, bop, bop. And you're like, sorry, guys.
Yep.
It's our moment.
on a lot of songs, you're able to go back and find a studio instrumental or somebody leaked the master track where you can hear just Freddie Mercury's vocals isolated or Michael Jackson just going, ah, soloed or something like that. And nothing like that exists for this song. I looked all over the place and it's such a complex arrangement that that would really be bringing a lot to our analysis if we could just hear the choir. Just singing that part and you could hear all the individual parts. So nothing like that exists. So we're just trying to tease it out here by listening to the full arrangement.
Oh, but you know what I bet you can find is just one of my favorite things to find, which is just an amateur community choir performing this song.
Yes, there's 1 million amateur covers of this song, or people doing the guitar solo over top of the radio version of the song and uploading it to YouTube. Definitely.
Which sometimes it is helpful, actually, to pull a song apart sometimes if you look at like a very amateur choir, because you're like, okay, well, between the chorus and orchestra, they only worked with the most sort of bare bones part of the arrangement. And like it can be like an easy way to sort of see the pieces of something, because you're like, well, you know, we know the Rochester Community Senior Orchestra probably just, you know, stripped out the easiest parts.
Bless their hearts. So how did this, it turned into a senior citizen choir in the middle of your story?
Yeah, they're old. Yeah, definitely.
It's like, I don't know.
Oh, the piano too.
It's like we left Guardians of the Galaxy and we're in Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah, it is very end of a Jane Austen movie.
Yes. That's it! You know, if you didn't...
The vocoder with the piano. Oh, it's so cool.
It's really cool.
He turned me over.
If you didn't know what it said, I would totally be fooled into it just says, Mr. Blue Sky... It's like the, you know, it's like the picture of the, are you seeing an old woman or a young woman, you know, personality test,
or that the audio version of that from current internet.
Yeah.
Like Yanni.
yeah. What was the other word? It was,
I can't remember.
I forgot about that. But yeah, the is the dress white or blue?
There's a couple of them on TikTok too.
I'm playing it again. Try to hear both things at once.
I hear it's like subtract the very final note because it's just too many syllables.
Too many syllables,
and it is. It totally is. Yeah. It's Mr. Blue Sky. Yeah, I can hear both easily. But you're right. It's also just a lifetime of thinking like, oh, that's just what they're saying.
Yeah.
But I love the introduction of the piano, like, heavily so late in the song.
So late in the song.
They really haven't been relying on it much and obviously wrote the song on piano. And then it's just like, okay, we're saving it for this ending.
Well, you know, I'm actually remembering now that there is just the piano at the beginning. That's like, the sun's shining, blah, 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 that's the weather report. And it's like the piano guy just... I don't remember hearing it in most of the rest of the song. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not going to go back and check myself. No. But it feels like it just left. You know, the guitar...
I'm sure that it was there. No, I feel the same way. And I could also be wrong, but I think it just... It is bookended in a way that even if it was involved, it has not been shining. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's a million things happening, right? There's a million... Like all the harmonies, the guitar, there's an orchestra, the strings come in, there's like the 30-piece orchestra, so the piano could be buried in the...
Fire extinguisher.
Back. But to me, it sort of felt like to me that they were just like, just go take a break, man. You played the intro, you killed it. We got it.
Totally.
We got it for about 5 minutes. And, you know, Gerardo just went to the water cooler, came back 5 minutes later, forgot what the song was about. It's just completely new idea, you know. He's just doing that. He's doing like Brahms.
At first, I was afraid. I was petrified. I mean, that's what you just did. Yeah.
It is. Yeah, he went. He actually left the studio, went to the bodega. They were playing I Will Survive. He came back in, sat down, and just started nailing arpeggios. You know, one thing I failed to ask you is why this song? Did you have, do you have like a personal memory of that's associated with this?
I don't think so. Well, first of all, I love ELO. I love many of their songs. But it is, I just thought for sure someone would have already done it because it is kind of like a perfect song. Like it's sort of flawless, but just the pure joy of it with no deeper meaning.
Yes.
You know, like, I don't know. I'm just happy every time I hear it. And there are so many songs like this that are heavily overused in movies. But like, I kind of don't get tired of this one, especially if people use it creatively where it's not just your standard like rom-com, like montage moment or whatever. You know, if people do like a Tarantino thing where it's like this happy song over some sure. guy's getting stabbed.
Yeah, the juxtaposition. Like we've seen the training montage for the bride to be. That's been done. Instead, let's do a little stabbing.
Yeah. It just I don't know. I just love it. I just think it's so good. And this is like it, you know, if I need to. Well, it's also, I don't know, this spring, summer weather. It's like, it feels like a transitional phase. It's a good song for that. But if I'm ever just, you know, going on my hikes or walking around,
like you do,
I
sure.
will kind of default to 70s good mood music. You know, like I will go into ABBA or ELO. And I don't know. It's just the time of the year for it.
I think we've got some really good incisive analysis of the song, but here we are just talking about how perfect it is, and that always that sets up a bit of suspense because nobody knows what the hell we're going to do to punch this thing up. If we talk about a real stinker, then you know it might be obvious what we're going to change, what we're going to improve, what we're going to ruin. But this one's still feeling pretty mysterious for me. So we're going to take a break, and then when I come back, I will play a punched up version for you. Who knows what it'll be. Okay, we're back, and as discussed, this was about as hard as expected because, you know, here we are on the record declaring this song to basically be a perfect song. So what I decided to do was not punch up the perfect song, Mr. Blue Sky, but rather think about what's great about it and write a sequel. To me, Mr. Blue Sky is like the best possible version of this dude made a song about small talk. Hey, how's the weather? How are things, Uncle Sean? Sunny down there today? Like the most boring possible conversation topic, he took it and just turned it up to 11. So this is my sequel to Mr. Blue Sky, also about something that you might small talk about, just cranking it up. I wrote a new track in the style of ELO.
And that's it for our traffic report. Avoid all highways and bridges until the end of civilization.
Let me tell you about the time I got stuck on 95. Listen to my tale of woe. Oh, so very relatable. Actually, 'twas just today. Left my house at 7:45. Rush hour drive time, big mistake. And this is traffic here today. Oh yeah, hey there, Mrs. Traffic. You're so funny, got me laughing. Fat red line on the Google map is got me sitting and staring at other cars' asses. Fake leather seats sticking to my thighs. Half a sunburn on the driver's side. Feelings of existential dread that I left the oven on and my cat is dead. Mrs. Traffic, tell me why. Turning the ignition makes me cry. So much road rage, I got PTSD. But my commute don't leave no time for therapy. Now, hey there, Mrs. Traffic. Got me feeling sociopathic. Wasting my life just getting older. In a coffin with four cup holders. Getting that nice deep vein thrombosis. Aggravating my scoliosis. Jamming the gas, then popping the brake. Welcome to the fucking rat race. Let me tell you about the time I got stuck.
rest of my life. Retinas burned with red brake lights. Mrs. Traffic is my wife. We're married now and we have kids. Don't ask me how she never did. It's a happy ending called Disney Classics. Trapped in hell with Mrs. Traffic.
I call it Mrs. Traffic.
Wow, wow, wow. It's kind of a love story. That's nice.
There was a little twist at the end. I don't know. It's a little Stockholm syndrome-y. You know, they fell
in love. I didn't
think
I'd ever hear deep vein thrombosis in a tune. That's fun. spread the awareness.
Yeah, it's kind important. Of, you know, that's like on the lyrical bucket list. As a songwriter, you want to sneak in thrombosis at some point in your career. You don't know when it's going to come.
Well, there's not that many things that rhyme with scoliosis, so.
Sure.
Halitosis. I guess there's kind of actually a lot.
Okay,
osmosis.
Yeah. Osmosis, sure, that was next. Now that you're sort of peeling the onion back, you're thinking about writing a thrombosis song.
Oh, yeah. You got to let people know. You have to move once an hour. Minimum.
Minimum. Flex your calves.
The goal is more, obviously. I love it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you crushed it.
I had way too much fun singing this song, trying to channel my inner Jeff Lynne, I guess.
I could tell. You sounded joyful. That's actually the weird part, is you kind of sound like you like being in traffic.
Right. In Mr. Blue Sky, I think we can agree that the experience of looking at the blue sky is joyful, so it doesn't seem out of place that
right.
He's happy about it. Yeah. I did kind of make it weird a little bit that it got a little too happy about it.
I loved it. It's a hit.
Thanks.
For me, it's going to be in my head all day.
Fantastic. Well, just keep this copy forever. And I'm not sending this one to Jeff Lynne's managers. I'm saving it for when I pray one day one or either of us meets him in like a green room somewhere.
Mm.
You know, or maybe like, you know, you're in zone two boarding at SeaTac Airport or something. You just happen to see him. And you recognize, you happen to see it, then you get that organic opportunity. That's when I want you to play it for him.
Actually, I already put it on Spotify, so.
Okay, and thanks.
We are raking in the dough. We, by the way.
We, okay. You're giving me a 50-50 split, thanks.
Yeah, of course. Go writer.
Well, I'm really just here for the exposure. You don't need to give me a rev share.
You can have 60 for the work you did.
Okay. I'll take it. This is the best. You're negotiating me up on my own song.
This is the problem with artists. See, you just took it right away. No negotiation. You were just happy to be even included.
Oh, I'm a major yes man. I'm a horrible negotiator. Just completely conflict averse. The first proposal on the table, I take it.
My cat is screaming at you. Don't take the deal. She's very invested in this now.
I mean, what else is there to say? We've ended up with, you can't punch up the perfect song, but you need more of that song in the world. So I'm hoping this kind of opens up a new franchise. If we have the sequel here, like what's chapters 3 and 4? We have a lot of work to do. A lot of growing.
Yeah. No, I feel very proud that I did the podcast completely backwards. I showed up with a perfect song and then you made a bad one.
Oh man, we really shat the bed on this episode.
I loved it.
This is a home run. All the viewers will agree. Get out there and give us a 6-star rating and tag Amy.
If you can, 5.5 and above.
5.5 is good. I'm out here advocating for This Is an Honors podcast because of the amount of homework we do. We should be getting 6-star reviews.
I agree with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I'll sign the petition.
Okay. We like to wrap up the show with a little segment I call...
What is your walking in music?
What is your walking in music? Where we're going to share a song that we would use to come into anything at all. I'll go first this week. And my jumping off point for trying to pick a song, because at this point I've been hosting the show 6 months and done this segment many times, and you start to run out of ideas. But my jumping off point was listening to the vocoder in this track. And I was thinking of other vocoder songs I loved. And so I thought of one that is a pioneering track. And this is an avant-garde composer named Laurie Anderson, who did some really funky electronic music. And this is her one song that ever became a hit. It's called Oh Superman. I want to use this song to walk into my own... Well, it's kind of a death scene, but it's a futuristic one. So I'm thinking about basically a Soylent Green scenario. Like, it's we're decades into the future here, and it's pretty dystopian, you know, and I'm sort of making a sacrifice by, you know, maybe being turned into food for the rest of the population or something like that. You know, they put you on some kind of conveyor belt to go into... this is dark, but I don't care. So, and then this song plays.
So hold me, mom. And your long arms. So hold me, mom.
This song came out in the early 80s. Isn't this amazing?
So good.
You know the Imogen Heap song, Hide and Seek?
Mm-hmm.
What you say? I hear that song completely in this song, which is about 25 years
old. Oh, yeah.
Older.
No question.
It's like she heard this and then did a fresh take on it. Okay, usually in my walk-in scenario, I don't die. Usually it's something happier, but I just felt like it this week. So that's my Soylent Green song.
I love it. I love Laurie Anderson.
Thanks.
It's so good. Oh, it's fitting, too, because my song starts with the la, 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 la's.
Oh.
We get the ha's and the la's.
Ah, great segue. Great continuity. Two songs that share a la, la, la. What did you bring for us?
I brought If You Seek Amy by Britney Spears. Maybe the silliest song of hers.
Oh, that's,
but also
that's saying a lot.
Genius.
That's saying a lot.
Obviously, I picked it because my name's in it.
Sure.
I also always forget about this song, and then I heard it again recently. I'm like, oh, this song rules. It's just so ridiculous in the lyrics.
It's so camp that you can just embrace it. Yes. Yes. Give me this song.
This is a song about doing an Irish goodbye at a party, which is one of my greatest passions in life.
A signature Amy. So you're saying people are often seeking Amy at the party.
They're seeking me and they want to have sex with me.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that's like, I mean, that's the song, you know, it's like Amy's gone. People bought her drinks. They're trying to find out, like, does she need a lime? She gone. She's not at the party anymore. She didn't say goodbye because it was too overwhelming. There were too many people there to say goodbye to, and they all wanted to have sex with her. And that's, like, a big part of my life, you know? It's just... I gotta, like, sometimes I just have to leave because...
Too many people. Too many people yeah. are propositioning you, exposing themselves. It's just happening
constantly. All of the boys and all of the girls.
Can I pitch you on, like, an additional scene in this thing, which is that you're at the party and somebody gave you the control of the Spotify speaker so that you snuck out and you know that, like, just about 3 to 4 minutes later, all these thirsty people are going to be looking for you. And right at the moment that they all look up from their drinks, you're already in an Uber, but you can hit play on their speaker.
Oh, hell yeah. Or I have the Touch Tunes app, and they're in a bar.
You touched this tune in the bar. And now... Now their eyes are all
meeting.
Did
you know you can do that with the TouchTunes app? You can play songs for your friends anywhere in the country.
This is the best product endorsement. I'm going out to get a podcast sponsorship right this second. You know just what you like. Have you seen my cousin? So, oh, I can't get her off of my brain. I just wanna go to the party. She gon' love. Can somebody take me home? Hi, hi, hi. Oh, it's so perfect. Take me, say what you want about me. But all the boys and all the girls are begging to, if you're seeking me. It's so good to imagine all of their eyes, these other party goers, looking at each other. Being like, damn it, she did it again. Amy told me that
she's
gonna meet
me up. I don't know where or when. Yeah, she's not gonna be there. I've seen her once or
twice before. She knows my face. Is this peak Britney voice? It's like,
oh yeah, the baby voice.
The baby.
Yeah.
She's kind of doing an impression of herself.
Yeah, and then that's like sinister, like. Ha ha hee hee ha ha ho. It's like a Dr. Seuss. It's a Seussical.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, I'm a sexy baby, and also I'm maybe a robot. I could be from a...
No, I don't know if you have picked up on this really subtle double entendre that she's doing, but...
I'm sorry, what?
Just in case you didn't notice, because I don't know... Maybe you don't live this life where everybody wants to have sex with you all the time.
No, I mean, I'm not good at subtext. I only am about meteorology.
But she's saying F-U-C-K me.
What?
Yep. And they let her say it on the radio, which is pretty cool.
Because she told them that it was Amy, that it was about Amy.
If you seek Amy.
What a freaking trick.
Amy's at home.
Amy's at home, and Brittany is spelling the word fuck.
Amy's already lotioning her feet into some comfy socks and watching the rest of you.
Just binging This Is Us. But every 4 minutes, you unlock the iPhone and go back to TouchTunes.
Oh, I read all the texts from the people still at the party with drinks they bought for me who want to have sex with me.
Yeah, where are you? I'm seeking you.
And that's what people say casually. Hey, have you seen Amy at this party? Did she leave? I'm seeking her. So I was just, I'm seeking Amy right now.
I'm seeking intercourse with Amy.
Desperately seeking.
Desperately
Amy.
Seeking intercourse. That's a good name for this soundtrack right here.
Desperately seeking intercourse.
Just a thought. Amy, this has been a pleasure and a delight. Thanks for making this tour of Mr. Blue Sky with me. Where can people find you when they inevitably want to follow you and see you on tour?
Oh, you mean if they're seeking me? Well, if you seek Amy, you can go to... I should have made that my website, if you seek Amy Miller.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably trademarked, but it is your actual name, so you can get away with it.
Right. It's just amymillercomedy.com. And that's got, you know, you follow me on Instagram. All the links are there. I got shows coming up in Indianapolis and Denver and Omaha, all kinds of places. But yeah, my album link is out there if you want to get California King. And my special's up for free. It's just on Comedy Central's YouTube, so you can watch it or just click. You just click on it. We're just trying to get clicks. You don't have to just play it on in the background.
Of course. Yeah, just right-click on the YouTube video. I'm telling this to everybody. And if you right-click on it, you can select loop. Just leave it on all night. Let's get the view count up, guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Or if you like to laugh, watch it with sound on.
If you seek laughter, if you seek me, you can follow me at Get Some Evan or follow the podcast at Punch Up the Jam. And probably the best thing you can do for your mental health after listening to this sunny song is supporting this show on Patreon, which is the only way you can get copies of the Punch Ups for your own listening pleasure. You can't even get them on TouchTunes. They don't have these in bars. And a lot of people are seeking these songs. I'm going to just...
They're seeking them.
I'm putting this verb in my vocabulary so hard from now on. I seek Amy. I want to come see you on tour. This is like, we're only Zooming. We've never met in person, and that's so sad. I'm going to come in person.
Seek me.
I seek you.
Let's punch it.
Desperately seeking intercourse.
Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it. Punch it. Punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Get the party going. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it.
You've been listening to Punch Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum original.